Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, a Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Joan Pride is here, too. She's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's coming up on in a couple of months, it'll be her seventh anniversary of being on the show, and she's pretty excited about that. Almost as excited about being back on the show. Right, Joan?
Hello?
Hi, Joan.
Hello? Hello, Jim.
You're not going to hurt my feelings today, are you, Joan? I gave you the week off last week.
Well, that's true.
What more could you want?
And it was a paid week.
And
off,
with
too.
Pay, I mean, I don't know what more you could want, Joan.
I'll send you a list.
Hey, we got to talk about something that I'm really excited about.
What?
That's going on in your city tonight.
Uh-huh. Oh,
in our nation's capital, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Kiplinger. And you're just going to have to sit back and relax for a second, folks. I'm going to talk about this because I am so excited about it. My heart is broken that I'm not going to be able to be there. But, folks, I'm just going to tell you who it is. I'm going to let Joan tell us what's going to happen. Austin Kiplinger is the son or the founder of the Kiplinger Letters. He was about five when his father Willard founded the company. He's the editor emeritus of the Kiplinger Editors, all that they do. He's 87 years old, I think, as I remember. We celebrated four or five of his last six or seven birthdays on the show. He's been on the show several times. And ladies and gentlemen, Austin Kiplinger, those of you who have heard him on the show know what I mean, and if you haven't heard him, you need to go back and listen to some archives of him doing the show with me. Austin Kiplinger is a United States national treasure, Joan, and I know you agree with me.
Yes, sir. No question.
And I want you to tell us what's happening tonight. This deserves the time.
Well, tonight in Washington, the National Press Club is honoring Mr. Kiplinger with its highest honor, which is called the Fourth Estate Award.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a big black tie event, and I'm actually getting dressed. I'm getting dressed up for it.
You're going to put a clean sweatshirt on, Joan?
There's very few people for whom I would get dressed up.
Me and Austin, right?
Well, at least Austin, anyway. But this is pretty exciting.
It's a big deal, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Hugh Seide's going to be there. I mean, I looked at the who's who. I looked at the list of people who are going to be participating and who are going to be
Justice
contributing.
Justice O'Connor is coming.
Yes. That's exactly right.
But if your listeners would like to go, just so they know, it's sold out and there's a waiting list.
Yeah. And, I mean, this is a who's who of not only important people in the media, in the print media and the video media, radio, but it's a who's who of important people in this country who are going to be there. I think the president was going to come, but he got there a little late and he didn't get a ticket.
See, that's the problem.
Yeah, he called me and asked me if I could work one out, and I said, you know what, GW, I just don't think I can work it
you
out.
I would have given him mine
had I had one, but this is a big deal, folks, and I'll tell you what, the only thing that's wrong with it is it's about 20 years too late.
That's right, and my goal tonight is to do a little reporting and find out why it did take so long.
Well, and I expect you to give us a full report next week of how things went. But folks, this is a big deal. This is this kind of an award. It's basically. Almost the Academy Award for his industry, isn't it? Lifetime achievement.
Right.
Just an incredible award. So I'm really proud of him, and I'm hoping we can get him on the show, and so I can brag on him a little bit when he's on here. I know he won't do it himself. He's too classy a guy.
Exactly.
But anyway, congratulations to your organization for having him at the helm. Knight's running the show, but Mr. Austin is still around. And folks, the man's amazing. He's ramrod straight, 87 years old. He's ramrod straight. He's gentleman's quarterly handsome. Dresses like an English squire. He's just as sharp as a tack. I'm really jealous, Joan, because he's got a great radio voice.
Oh, it's the most wonderful radio voice.
Yeah,
right. Well, and he was in broadcast for quite a while.
Yeah, on radio and television. Yeah. He was a correspondent for... Yeah. Anyway, he's paid his dues. He certainly deserves this, and congratulations. Joan, let's move over and talk about page one. You guys, you know, Joan, Kiplinger seems to always be bullish on the stock market. I've never seen you guys, in 8 years of working with you guys, I've never seen you guys have a bearish thought about the stock market.
Well, and we've been, you know, over the long term, you know, the stock market has its ups and downs, but over the long term, we've been right.
Well, yeah, over 87, I guess so. Well, there was that day in 1929 and 1987, those 2 days.
Just a blip.
Weren't so good. But you guys say that you actually think there's going to be a spring rally.
Right. We believe that. We admit that it's been kind of lackluster this year, but we say stocks are going to rally by next spring.
You don't mention a date, though. I need dates here.
You need a date.
Yeah.
March 21st, 3 p.m.
Write this down. Write that down, folks. are you saying that investor fears are dissipating now, or they're going to be dissipating?
Well, I think they're starting to dissipate now and will continue to do so over the next few months.
Could it have anything to do with the real estate market? Because, you know, Joan, it seems to me that over the last 2 or 3 years, people have been sort of focusing more, maybe a little more on real estate, a little less on equities. And so now that real estate seems to be, the bloom is off the rose of real estate just a little bit, which is what we're going to talk about in a minute. It seems maybe the stock market might be coming back.
Right. Well, we do say that investment in housing is going to lose some of its glamour, and that we're saying the party is over for real estate investment trusts.
Mm-hmm.
So you REITs. Can see where. But the thing about housing, it's a funny market. You know, there. I guess in some places the housing market is going to cool, but it's really a regional thing. And I think in the Washington D.C. area, it may not be white hot, but it's still red hot.
Well, Washington's an artificial economy, unlike New York, Miami, Phoenix, L.A., Denver, Dallas, Chicago. Unlike those markets, Washington's an artificial economy. It's got the U.S. government there, and so it's going to, even if there is a bubble there and there is a little bit of a bursting of the bubble, it's not going to go down as far. It's going to come back quicker than any place else. Well, I had a real estate expert on the show this week, Joan, and she basically indicated, I mean, she came as close as anybody I've ever heard come to saying that we have a national real estate bubble, and I just don't agree with that.
Right. There's just so many differences among regions that I think you have to look at it regionally and not nationally.
Well, I don't even think regionally. I think it's an urban thing, Joan.
Okay.
The cities I just mentioned, I'm not saying any of those have a bubble. I'm just saying that the bubbles are happening where the, you know, in the urban suburban areas, not out in so much of flyover America. We're going to talk about this and some other things with our good friend Joan Pride right after these messages. Joan is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and she's so happy to be back on the show. You can tell, can't you? Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and we're visiting with our good friend Joan Pride. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, Kiplinger says that U.S. stocks are fairly valued. Now, what do you mean by that?
Fairly valued?
Fairly are, again, fairly valued. Now, does that mean
not overvalued.
Not overvalued. And, I got that with the fairly thing. I got that part of it. But so you're not saying that stocks are a steal, but that they're worth looking into, especially when you look at the next thing on the letter where you talk about what the return is or is going to be. What is that? Which is it? Is it?
Well,
I guess.
A total return of 9%. We're saying that the prices will, on average, will go up 7%, and then you'd add in a 2% dividend yield, which isn't bad.
Historically, haven't equities delivered around 12%? Isn't that a number that when they go
I know
back,
it's double digits.
Yeah, it's pretty darn strong. But of course, got to go in. You got to be in it for the long haul, right?
Oh, sure.
And I think that's the math on that. That math also presumes that you were always in the right place at the right time.
No question.
Yeah, because you know, many times you can bet on the wrong horses and you get zero. Not 12%.
That's unfortunately true.
Yeah, but 9%, 7% growth appreciation and 2% dividends. You know, one of the reasons why the dividends may be true, Joan, is because, as you know, companies have been hoarding cash.
Well, that's right.
You know, Microsoft was just hoarding it like crazy.
Yeah.
And they did something in the last year that they hadn't ever done, and that was to distribute dividends.
Oh, that's right, which is, yeah, people were pretty surprised about that.
Pretty unusual. So yeah. If Microsoft can do it, other folks can do it. Let's talk about, let's move on down and talk about the tax issue, Joan. One of the things you guys point out is that the one of the things that's helping stocks is the 15% rate on income from dividends. That's helping stocks, isn't it?
That's right. And, yeah, that was huge. Now, of course, that's going to eventually expire, and Congress is working on extending that. But for now, it's still there.
Right now, the president wants 2 years, but looks like he's only going to get 1 year to 2009, right?
I think so, right. But is even 2009, that's, for now, that's pretty good.
That's a way. I mean, we may not be around. I may not be here in 2009. So I'm worried about 2006 right now. But, yeah, a lot of things could happen between now and then. But
sure.
But still, that's pretty good. And the fact that you guys are pointing that out to me, Joan, that the tax rate is good for the stock market, good for investors, good for capital formation, which is the mother's milk of any capitalistic free market economy.
Right.
The fact that you guys are pointing that out to me is proof that you know, lower taxes are good for the things that I just said. For the flow of capital.
Well, certainly in this case, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, actually, John, I think in all cases.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go out and say on a limb and say in all cases, and that's on the Blasting Game letter, not the Kiplinger letter, by the way, folks. Joan, before we move over to page 2, let's talk about these forecasts. I love your little forecast box.
Do you now?
Yeah, this is really
okay.
Good, folks. The little forecast box is worth the subscription. And so we start out with the GDP. You guys are saying that it's going to be up to 3.5 this year, but down to maybe only 3 next year. 3 ain't bad, is it?
I'll take it.
It's pretty darn good.
Not bad at all.
Considering that Europe's less than 1.5.
Exactly.
Yeah. And also, Joan, look at that 3.5 for 2005. Think about what the economy, this U.S. economy, has endured this year with the hurricanes. What else have I missed? I'm missing something else here. The attacks around the world.
The price of oil going up.
There you go. I knew I'd forgotten something.
That's why you have me here.
Exactly. I've been wondering about that, Joe. Over $3 a barrel oil for a lot of the year, with the fear, the scare of doubling the rate for natural gas for the winter. I mean, with all that, and Joan, look, we had, according to the economists, we had 3.8% growth in the third quarter, overlaying Katrina and Rita.
Right, exactly.
And Wilma. Now, Wilma was the fourth quarter, I guess.
So, which kind of makes you see why the Fed is still concerned about inflation.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're. I feel like they think they've got a tiger by the tail, don't they?
I think so. Sure.
You know, they're afraid to turn loose, afraid it'll eat us up, and which brings us to one of your other indicators, which is the inflation rate.
Right, which is interesting. We think that will moderate, but we're saying 4% for 2005, which, relatively speaking, is pretty high.
That is high.
When I say high compared to the last few years.
I didn't realize we were going to get up to 4 this year.
There were years when we would have killed for 4%, but that was a long time ago.
Right.
So we say a moderation, I guess, because of the Fed tightening, a moderation to 3% in 2006.
You know, speaking of things we would kill for, I had a little kind of a nauseous feeling the other day, a sick feeling, when I pulled up at the gas pump, and I remember thinking, "Wow, what a great day! I'm going to pay 2.25 for gas."
Yeah.
Now and then
and
I thought
about that.
And I thought about that, and it made me sick.
Yeah.
It made me nauseous to think that I would actually. I mean, talk about being conditioned. I had become conditioned to be happy that I was only paying 2.25 for gas.
Well, I think you should get used to it.
Yeah, I think you may. I think you're right. No, I think you are right. I predicted that myself, and you know the highly accurate small business advocate Crystal Ball says that too, Joan. That wasn't funny, Joan. Stand by.
Sorry.
Quick break. We're going to be right back with our good friend Joan Pryor. We got a lot more to talk about after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
Since I don't have you, Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks for being here with us today. It's always a pleasure for me to be part of your day, and I know it's like a dream come true for you. That's what Joan Price says all the time. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog. And, oh, by the way, the new book is up on the website. If you want to check out the new book, it's not in stores yet. That's coming up. I'll tell you about that when it does, but you can find out more about it at the website at smallbusinessadvocate.com or go to directly to sbnbooks.com. Check that out when you get a chance. Joan Pride is with us, as I said, folks, and one of the things that I'm really excited about is this thing right in the middle, Joan. Tell us about the employment numbers.
Oh, and it's a new forecast. You like that little
rustling
there? Well, we're seeing 1.8 million new jobs this year, which is not bad.
That is really good.
But, if you like that, you're going to like this one then. Next year, 2 million new jobs.
See, Joan, this is, you know why that's the best news of all?
Why is that the best news of all?
Well, Joan, don't you remember for the last 3 to 4 years, you and I have been talking about all the bad news out there, people being misdirected and being underemployed and unemployed because we were converting from a 20th century economy to a 21st century economy?
Sure.
If you've got 2 million new jobs, almost 4 million over a two-year period, 4 million jobs, because Republicans always round up when we're talking about our about Republican numbers, right? When you've got 4 million jobs in 2005, 2006, Joan, those are 21st century jobs.
Oh,
that means
I see.
People
sure.
are getting redirected, and
right.
that's just the foundation. In other words, those people who are just getting those jobs, they're just starting them. They're getting their legs under them. They're getting their training. They're accepting and understanding the new role of employees in the 21st century. And if we can build on that, Joan, that's one of the reasons why I'm very hopeful about the United States economy over the next decade.
Right.
Does that make sense?
I think so.
Good.
I believe it does.
It's almost brilliant, isn't it, John?
Well, now don't push your luck here, please.
But you got to admit, though, that's pretty cool. But remember, Joan, what was it in 2003 or so? 2002, 2003, mm-hmm. We were losing jobs like that. We just lost a bunch of jobs after the recession and the attacks. And these are people who have been redirected. They've gotten retrained. And it's pretty exciting to me, Joan. The trade deficit is also up. That's not good. Housing next year is going to be up, but not as much as in the past.
That's right. Which there's an easing, but it still seems pretty strong to me. 7.8 million next year.
Right. You know, I saw those Toll Brother numbers. Tell us who the Toll Brothers are.
Aren't they the largest residential developer in the country? Is
right.
that right?
Right. They're the big daddy, and when they make a forecast, that moves markets a little bit.
Right. And there was a lot of press attention to the fact that they say their numbers are going to be down next year.
But I saw those numbers, Joan. Those weren't big drops. It was, I don't know, a few hundred thousand houses. I mean, out of, instead of 10 million or whatever, it was like, instead of 10 million 8, it was 10 million 3 or something. I forgot what it was. But it wasn't like a drop off the table.
Yeah.
So I think we might be wringing our hands a little bit unnecessarily there. Retail sales are going to be up okay next year. It's that steady growth at about 4%. Auto sales, this is the troubling part, isn't it? That's a sick sector in our economy, isn't
right,
it?
Right, and I'm only sorry that we don't say they're falling by how much? We just say falling to 16.8 million in 2006.
But Joan, that's a sick economy. That's a sick sector in the economy.
Oh, no question about
we
it.
Got,
sure.
We got Delphi that just took bankruptcy.
Yes.
Right, which is the largest parts manufacturer was spun off of GM. Right. They just took bankruptcy. A lot of people are doing a death watch on Ford and GM right now, and maybe even Chrysler.
Right.
Have you read those reports?
Oh sure, absolutely.
Aren't they? I mean, I'm not being overstating the case when I say that there are people out there who say it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Not that they'll go away necessarily, but that they may they're going to be focusing on towards bankruptcy. And Joan, what would be one of the reasons why they would go ahead and go into bankruptcy?
Well, I think remember these are old time businesses which with very strong unions. This is kind of the
legacy.
Last bastions of the union movement.
Mm-hmm.
And so going into bankruptcy not only helps them with debt, but I believe doesn't it also help them with some of their agreements with the unions?
Well, that would be part of the workout. I mean,
right.
If they go into Chapter 11 to seek protection, then in order for them to come out of 11 and not go into 7 and be dissolved, they've got to rework their structure, which includes salaries.
Right.
That's what Delphi. I think we're going to find that Delphi is a bellwether, maybe even a canary for that whole industry. So it'd be worth watching over the next few months, folks. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking and rolling with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, let's talk about that website. I like it. It's Kiplinger.com. I use it all the time, and I appreciate you making it available to us. But also, you've got the forecast website too, don't you?
That's right, Kiplinger Forecasts, which is password protected, so you would have to subscribe to that.
Members only, ladies and
That's
gentlemen.
Right.
You got to be a really special person, but you can become one of those simply by subscribing to Kiplinger's website or any of their publications. Joan, can I subscribe to just the tax letter?
Yes, you could.
Does that get me to the forecast section? Or do I have to subscribe to the letter?
I don't think so. What it gets you to is the online version of the tax letter, which if I may brag about that for just a moment.
Yeah.
If you're into tax stuff, this thing has a wealth of information, because anytime we mention anything that the IRS is doing or Congress is doing, we have a hot link there that links you right to whatever you need to know.
A whole lot more than just what's in the letter.
And right? Let me tell you, you go on that IRS website, and it's not a friendly site. We cut through all that garbage for you and give you the link to what you need so you're not flailing around on the IRS website trying to find it. And our readers tell us that's very valuable.
So now how do we find I've been telling them for almost over 8 years now about the or for over 7 years, I should say, about the Kiplinger site. But are there separate sites just for those? We got the tax letter, the California letter, the agriculture letter. Are there separate sites for those?
I'm going to try to go on the site right now. The public site, www.kiplinger.com, should
right.
have links to all these different
things.
Will,
I think it will have. I just didn't know whether you guys had, if it's /taxes or /agriculture or whatever. But just check it out, folks, when you get a chance. And they've got the three biweekly publications I just mentioned, and then they've got the weekly letter, which is the flagship. That's the one that's been around for now for in their 83rd year, the
right.
Kiplinger letter. And then also, Joan, you've got you got that magazine thing, don't you?
Right, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And how about that phone number?
Oh, right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And way back, folks, a long time ago, I worked really hard and got you guys a 30-day free trial. That's only
Very nice of you.
That's only available to people who listen to the show and everybody else. And so check it out when you get a chance. They'll give you a 30-day free trial. And if you don't like it, then you don't have to pay for it. If you do like it, then they're going to bill you for it. So I hope you check it out, because it's an outstanding publication. And the work that they do is very important, which is proven by the award that Mr. Kiplinger is going to get tonight.
That's right.
And if I know Mr. Kiplinger, I can just hear him now. I accept this award on behalf of all the good people at
you
Kiplinger.
You
can count on it, folks. You can, as sure as the sun comes up tomorrow, he will say that tonight.
That's right.
Okay, and I didn't write a speech either, by the way, folks. He asked me to. I just wasn't able to work it out. I didn't have the time. Okay, Joan, let's talk about. Let's move down and talk about the health issues. What's the deal with this flu pandemic? Is this really, Joan? Is this really as big a deal as the president and some others seem to make it?
Well, it sure sounds that way. I think one of the problems is it's just so contagious. I think that's what they're concerned in, given that we're sort of a global village now. When you saw the way SARS moved pretty well last year, this could move real well, on airplanes and such.
Well, it is. Jonah, I've done a little reading on this lately. It's the H5N1 virus, right?
Right.
The H and the N are the two main components. Those are proteins. The H is what allows the virus to get into the cell. The N is what allows the virus, what helps the virus get out of the cell and become contagious.
Boy, you do know a lot about
it. I've done
this.
A little reading on this, Joan. And so, but here's the thing. I think the thing that's gotten them so excited about this, and I mean excited in a bad way.
Excited in a bad way.
Yeah. Is, Joan, that they now believe that the influenza of 1918, which killed millions of people across the country, hundreds of thousands of Americans, something I've forgotten, it was a six-figure number just in the month of October 1918 in the United States. It was incredible. But anyway, they now think that was a bird flu. That was originated with birds.
Okay.
But Joan, here's the biggie. The influenza of 1918 had a 1 to 2% mortality rate. This one, so far, has a 50% mortality
Ooh.
Rate.
Well, that's
and
that
see, that's just got
yeah.
them excited. And now yeah. the good news is, Joan, is that if there is good news, is that it's strictly been, so far, it's going from bird to bird and from bird to humans, those humans who handle a lot of birds.
Right.
But it, so far, and this is, but when this happens, the tipping point, as they say, Joan, is when it goes from human to human, and that's what they're worried about, isn't it?
Well, that's the wild card, yeah, and they just don't know how it's going to behave at that point. And they kind of have to prepare for the worst-case scenario in that situation.
Well, I've read a number of experts on this who have written about this, and one of the things that they're hoping to do is if they ever find that it is going has gone human to human, they're going to literally isolate that part of the world, that village, that state, that country, whatever. They're going to isolate that area. Oh. That's one of the factors they're going to try to use.
Good luck trying to do that.
Yeah, no kidding. But anyway, it's really scary. And of course, as we say, once the tipping point happens and it goes human to human, once it starts, look out.
Right.
So, anyway,
you got some good news, Jim?
Yeah. Well, no, because you guys say that there's going to be steady erosion in retiree health benefits. I mean, I just read this. Yeah. I don't make this up. You guys come up with this stuff.
That's right. That's right. And, we're saying right now, if you think about it, only 25% of companies offer health benefits to retirees.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, you're going down from a low level already.
And you got to be expecting a lot of these companies that maybe are not even in business anymore doing what they used to do, who are still providing health care to their retirees in these divine benefits programs, they're going to be figuring out how to stop that. And so you might want to check that out, folks. It's 10 till. We come back. We're going to talk about Mr. Alito, Judge Alito, I should say, His Honor Alito, right after these messages. 10 till. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till, and it doesn't get any better than the Stones, ladies and gentlemen. Joan Pryor, that's Joan on the tambourine back there in the background.
I wish. That's my number one favorite Stone song.
Yeah, is that right? Well, Joan, we do what we can for you around here. Joan Pryor, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, is Judge Alito, Judge Samuel Alito, is he going to make it to the Supreme Court? Or is there going to be a filibuster on the way?
Well, we're saying there's going to be an ugly Senate brawl.
I kind of like to see that, Joan.
Yeah, brawl might be kind of interesting.
I think I'm going to come watch it. You think they'll sell tickets? Will they sell tickets for that, Joan?
I don't know if you'll need a ticket.
I think there needs to be a brawl up there. You know what I mean? I think there needs to be a little. They need to go, mano a mano or senator a senator, whatever the Latin term for that would be. I'd like to see that. Would you?
Why not?
I mean, that would be fun. I think.
Yeah, you don't do that anymore.
Well, yeah.
People don't do that anymore.
I don't mean. And of course, it'll turn hateful. But it really could be a brawl without being hateful. They could just be respectful and do their thing. But it will be interesting. And Joan, there could be some history to be made here.
History
because of the nuclear option.
Oh, right, yes. Well, you had the nuclear option, meaning a procedural maneuver that the Republicans kind of have in their back pocket that they believe would stop the filibuster against judges for all time in the Senate.
Now, just for judicial nominees.
Just for judicial
nominees, wouldn't do away with the
wouldn't
filibuster
cover legislation.
For everything.
Right.
That's right.
And they haven't used that yet, but there is some thought that in this fight that could possibly come about.
And I'd like to, I really would like to see that happen. I hate to say that. I mean, I really would like for them to get along better, but I do think that that would be something good because, well, this guy Alito is only a slight degree more objectionable for most people, for most reasonable people than Roberts was. I mean, this guy's pretty hard to touch, isn't he?
I would think so.
Yeah. So I mean, this is a low percentage fight for the Democrats to me, and it'd be interesting to see how it happens. So Kiplinger says he's gonna get through, if not sail through.
Right.
All right. But we now know they're not even gonna take it up until January.
The president was hoping for a vote before the holidays. But
why are they delaying this, Joan? Do you know?
Well, it's never been really made clear.
They don't want to work that hard, it sounds like to me.
Well, they do have a lot of other stuff going on. That's true.
Yeah, but they can walk. They're supposed to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time.
I didn't know that.
The kind of perks and the pay that they get, not that they get rich or anything, but the kind of perks they get, they should be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. Joan, let's move over and talk a little bit about, just for a little bit about something you guys mentioned on page 4. At the urging of U.S. businesses hit hard by counterfeit goods, Bush will turn up the heat on China and Russia. Joan, more and more really smart people are writing about this. If the United States is going to have an information economy, and if it's true, which I believe that it is, that the research is showing that that American corporations are leveraging intellectual property more than fixed assets, we've got to be able to protect our property, haven't we?
No question, sure.
Our intellectual property.
This is a real problem.
It's a serious problem.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks, Alan Murray wrote about it in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. A lot of people are talking about it. It's Joan, the reason that I like to bring it up on the show is because this isn't a government thing. This isn't a major corporate thing. This is everybody, including consumers in the United States, including small businesses. Everybody needs to be aware of this and pay more attention to it.
Oh, absolutely.
Joan, I was in this article that Alan Murray wrote yesterday, he was pointing out that there's one Chinese company that may be ripping off a U.S. company that they're suing them about.
Right.
That may actually come to New York and try to raise capital in the public market. They may actually try to join the stock market and raise capital in the United States to do business stealing, as they're stealing an intellectual property of one of our companies.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So these are some of the issues that are going on, and that you and I, I'm sure, are going to be covering in the weeks and months ahead. Joan, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jim.
Would you please give my and our audience's very, very best to Mr. Austin Kipler?
I would be happy to, and I will report on the big evening next
week.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that, but you be sure to give him a hug for us and
sure
tell him that we are so proud of him.
Absolutely.
Austin Kiplinger, ladies and gentlemen, is getting a big Fourth Estate Award, Lifetime Achievement Award for the National Press Club. Thanks, Joan, for being
here. Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and Austin Kiplinger. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.